I think to get our running game going, we've got to do a lot more screens, a lot more dynamic type of screens, a lot more draws. I think you've just seen kind of the hitch and go and just that kind of the quick hitters in these first two games. And guess what? They've scored us 31 points today or 32 points today and however many it was last game. I can't remember. So just with vanilla offense, in my opinion, we've done pretty well. Now, are there some drives that kind of screwed up? Yeah, those quick three and outs, those hurt. But we're learning a lot about our offense, what we can and can't do. We're learning that Hurd needs to have that two or three yards to really get going. I think a good back for this system is that kid out of Dearden. I can't remember his name for to save my life.
Devin Young?
Thank you, yes. I think Devin Young's a perfect back for this read option type. What do y'all think?
Sean, you wanted to make a couple points. Go ahead.
Well, no, I think the caller's right on the money, and we saw that on I think Devin had a nice run. If you're going to have to make decisions, stop and start, before you reach the line of scrimmage, Devin seems to be the only guy right now, as long as Darrell Scott's injured, that's on the roster that's going to be able to do that.
You heard Butch in the post game. I mean, he's gone out of his way last week and then again today to say it's not the running backs. I'm very pleased with the running backs and the way they're playing, and without calling out his offensive line. I mean, that's what he's doing, right? I just think it's more about the line than the backs.
The point is, who are you going to call? Look, if I have a student in my classroom, okay, and he's a C student and he's giving me C work, what am I supposed to do? He can.
Yeah, he's doing the best. At a scale of 1 to 10. This offensive line, the best they can be is a 7.5 on their best day. And right now they're giving about 6.57 work right now. They're doing the best they can.
If there's a change, I would like to see, and I said earlier, I think they're kind of a finesse offense, and sometimes I think today they come out on first down and we want to force the issue and run the ball. What the heck? If you can't do it, be who you are, throw it, and then mix in the run as that's your change up instead of trying to be stubborn about it. Because that's obviously not working.
Josh, what do you say to that? Josh Woodward, what do you say?
Well, what I say is Dooley skipped the offensive line one whole class, so that's coming back to haunt Tennessee right now. That's just absolutely killing them. And they're trying to recruit that back as we speak. And the caller's right, 7.5 out of 10 is about as good as they can do. And, they want athletic offensive line, a little bit smaller, not something Tennessee's been used to because they want to run this spread, and these guys are not quite built for that.
Right.
They got to keep the pressure off Worley because this is going to be a pass-first team and run second. It's just how it has to be. It's got to be those little short hitches, those screens, some stuff we haven't seen yet, but that's how they're going to have to play this year, and you're just going to have to throw it in the same area, zip code as Marquez North and let him go get it.
Exactly. Guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'll let some other callers get in here. Y'all have a good one.
Carp, wonderful hearing from you, man. Thank you.
Tony, it's kind of like you got a four-guard lineup in basketball, and you're complaining because we're not working it down to the low post.
That's a great analogy.
Or, I've got a six-foot point guard, and he's not backing anyone down. It's just not there. Russell's perfect on that point. You got to play to what you know and to what you have.
Josh, what do you observe when you watch Hurd from your standpoint? I mean, from what you expected of him during the recruiting season, then from what we've seen now, basically what we've said today is that so far, in the last couple of weeks, you can tell that kid's going to be an excellent player. There's just no doubt about that. You just know that. His ability jumps off the page at you. In this offense right now, as it's currently constructed, it looks like a mismatch. His skill set for what this offense can do offensively, and I point out to how there's just not a lot of getting the ball to him for him to take it downhill. There's a lot of playing with the ball in this offense, and there's not a lot of perimeter action for sweeps, which allows him to use his get up the field and run over a linebacker or get out in space. There's just not a lot of that. He needs a head of steam. It seems to be a little bit of a mismatch. Are we wrong in our observation here?
No, you're not, but you'll probably see that the next game. I mean, you're probably going to see more of that. They're going to give the ball more to their horses when it comes down to playing somebody that they need to give. You've kind of seen Marquez North be limited to get other players on the field to get that experience and thrown the ball to him that much and been on the field that much. You got Hurd could carry the ball 30 times a game and then be fine. And you're right, get it out in the flat to him and let him make some guys miss because he has that juke in him that you hadn't seen at Tennessee in a while.
No, that's right.
He can fly. On that touchdown he scored, I mean, he beat those guys to the corner on that, I believe it was the first touchdown in the north end zone. He beat them, flat beat them to the corner. We hadn't seen that in a long time with a running back at Tennessee, and it was, we knew he was going to be special. When you see kids like that in high school, him and Josh Malone, you just know it's there. They're at a different level. And he's a hard worker, and he seems like a great kid, doing everything right at Tennessee, and, you know, you don't see kids succeed that do it.
Josh Woodward's InsideTennessee.com. Check out his site. Let me go back to the phones and grab another caller as Dustin's up next with us here on the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello, Dustin.
Fellas, what's going on?
Hey, man.
Let's just say what it is. Obviously, you know, Coach Jones has promised Hurd a lot, and that's why he's continuing to get the work out of him. I agree with everything T-Carp says. I think this kid needs to get the ball out in space, not from the shotgun handoff. I don't really care for that, but, you know, he obviously gets paid more money to do this than I do, so he's got a plan at least.
Where do you get that he made promises to him in recruiting? He's playing because he's better.
You think he's better than Marlon Lane the last 7 minutes where Marlon Lane would be running up the gut, you know, turning yards so they get hit as soon as he gets the ball?
Let's go around the room. Do you believe that he's better than Marlon Lane, Russell?
Hurd?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're different players, but
he's
a better ball carrier.
You hand him off the ball, he's got to run straight.
All right, hang on. Let's go around the room here. Lundy, flip your headphone down and focus for half a second and get off your smartphone. Do you think he's better?
No, I do not. Not right now. I think he definitely will be.
Hurd is not better than Marlon Lane.
I think Lane's better right now.
Okay.
You?
Sean Sinclair, go.
I don't know if there's much difference. I mean, Lane's not a hit-the-hole kind of guy, too. He's a very patient runner. I think he's a lot like who's the guy we had a couple? Torin Poole?
Torin Poole, yeah.
I don't think if you switch the carries, I don't see a 100-yard game against anybody with Marlon
Lane. Backs.
Hey, Josh, break the tie.
Okay, so Hurd's the better player. He has the better NFL potential.
That's not what we're talking about.
That's what I'm going with.
That's not what we're talking about. Well, I mean,
I'm talking about he handed off the ball to gain yards, eat up clock, run right out the middle, grind out the clock, not make anybody miss, just run straight.
So you're saying that Hurd, I just want to make sure I understand. You're saying he's playing because they promised him because he's a 5-star player. You're going to play from the very beginning.
Absolutely.
Josh, do you believe that? Let's go around the room. Let's go around the room. Hang on, Dustin. We're discussing this. Do you believe that, Josh?
No. I just think he's earned the right to play.
Russell, do you believe that? They promised him, and that's why he's playing.
No.
Do you believe that?
No.
Okay, so you guys all think he's better, but you don't think he's – so why isn't he playing if he's better? Russell, go ahead.
He's playing.
No. Okay, you said
– What are you talking about? He got more carries. He's had more carries than both of them.
Most of you guys just agree with Dustin.
Dustin is saying, I think.
He's not implying. He's saying.
Dustin is saying that Hurd is getting the majority of the carries because of recruiting promises.
Yes.
Because he's a 5-star.
Yes.
I love Dustin to death, but I don't know that I agree with that.
What the hell are you saying, Dustin?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just throwing random stuff out there. There's not really a lot to talk about, but really something I wanted to talk about since I've just totally messed up everything. Do you think Coach Jones is going to be able to coach in this next game like he did last year against Oregon? Is he going to get swept up, and is he going to try to play his game, or is he going to get swept up in the Oklahoma game in the environment like he did in Oregon? That's really what I wanted to talk about. I could care less about.
Respectfully, I think it's just going to be an ass-kicking no matter what he does, and I'm not trying to be a negavol here.
I don't think it's going to be like Oregon. I think Oklahoma will win the game decisively, but
yes.
I would like to see Tennessee give a better showing than they did last year.
Here's where these games are won and lost. We like to focus on skill people. The line play, I mean, when you talk about Stryker and their people up front on our offensive line, that has the potential, Dustin, to get really ugly really quickly, okay? And if we don't handle our business properly, we could look like a team in there getting a bye game and not a team from a BCS league. Now, that said, they do not have the track athletes Oregon has to run us out of the gym. The score is not going to be obscenely, I don't think, one-sided. But I do think time of possession and those sorts of things, that could be a real ugly game on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, another question is, like, we had two or three possessions in the third going in the fourth quarter where we would get the ball, we have it third and 10 and run probably not even 30 seconds off the game clock. What is Tennessee going to be able to do to counter that in this next coming up week? Because Oklahoma has by far the best linebackers we're going to see maybe for the next couple of months.
Their front seven, and Dustin, I appreciate the phone call. Their front seven, geez Louise, all that in a bag of chips. And that's where I think Tennessee's heading in the future. We're going to grab Terry, who's in Atlanta. Josh, let me ask you one thing. Tennessee's commitment from earlier today, I would like your thoughts on him. Go ahead.
You know, he's a good cornerback. Tennessee was very high on him. I'm sure they're very excited to get him. Somebody they pinpointed early, offered him early. I heard he's supposed to commit last week, but pulled the trigger today. He's a high three-star player by scout, four stars by some other services. He's what they want, athletic corner. He'd be a good fit. He's in the North Carolina area, which Tennessee is now recruiting very heavily again, which is a talent-rich area that they need to be in on, because it's really closer than Memphis is to Knoxville, so it's a great area to go get kids.
It's the difference. That area is, you want to talk about having success in this program or not, you've got to get your fair share from the Carolinas, Sean. That is a must. And Virginia. That's a must. That mid-Atlantic region.
There's players out there. There's a ton of players out there. And, just keep being relevant in North Carolina. Work your way down into South Carolina and Virginia and Georgia. And you're going to make hay. There's no question about it.
I want to remind you before we grab Terry, and Terry, you're next. Smart Way, ladies and gentlemen, helping to prepare to present today's show. And here's how it works. When you go to Smart Way, you're going to pay your way. They're located at 8416 Kingston Pike. And speaking of the Carolinas, they also have a location over in the Charlotte area, and many more are coming. But here's how Smart Way works. Smart Way, the everything for your home store where you're going to pay your way. And here's the deal. The deal with Smart Way is they have, you name it, for your home, they've got it. From furniture to appliances to electronics to cell phones and tires. Going to offer you products in a way that you've never seen before. Why do we use the term Smart Way? Well, Smart Way, you pay your way. If you want to pay it off the same as cash price, go for it. And in 120 days, knock it out. If you choose a lease, purchase, or rent-to-own agreement, you can do that as well. And you can change the payment that you pay and the frequency of your payment anytime you want without the hassle of a new agreement. You just pay your way. It's beautiful. Life is a beautiful thing. And that's what we mean when we say pay your way. And I say it's like this. We had a great coaching adjustment today, Sean, in the first quarter made by Cinco?
Bajakian.
Bajakian. And that is pay your way. And what was the great adjustment before we get Terry in Atlanta in here?
Well, I thought they went to a quick passing game, spread out the defense a little bit, get the linebackers off the line, get that safety that was just hanging out there, get him to back up a little bit, and all of a sudden the points started coming.
Smart Way, ladies and gentlemen. Check them out online at gosmartway.net. Terry's in Atlanta joining us. And for the first time today, if you want to get in, we do have one line available for you at 865-200-5402. Terry, you're in Atlanta. You're on with Josh Woodward, who is with InsideTennessee.com covering our volunteers. Hey. Terry, hello.
Hey, man.
Hey, T.
I've called periodically. I'm actually in Tampa and had to watch the DirecTV fiasco. But to finally be able to watch the Tennessee game.
Did they finally get it on there?
Oh, finally. I mean, it was ridiculous. Yeah. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there. I'll be back in Atlanta next week. But the, you know, everybody's got to remember, every year you got to recruit 9 to 13 big uglies. 9 to 13 to improve. And we've had 1 year of Butch really recruiting his guys. The big uglies set the tempo. If the offensive line, defensive line can't do it, it's not going to happen. And the running game, Hurd behind that line maybe a year down the road, maybe busting the big ones. He's not a juker behind the line. That's obvious. And I went on YouTube and looked at some of the stuff he did before. He's got to have straight ahead speed. He's like a Herschel Walker. He gets his shoulders square to the line of scrimmage and he's a terror. But he can't be one hesitating behind the line. You got to have those guys who just clear it out. And we're playing freshmen. Isn't there a walk-on guy who's playing? He just got hurt. It takes time to develop that. And between Dooley, or do nothing, and everything else, it's just give. I think we're looking at a 6-6 year. I hope if we're 6-6, we're going to a bowl game. It'll help us, etc. Since 1950, the winningest team in the SEC. We just have to take a deep breath and realize we've had some bad years.
I agree. And Terry, here's the problem.
Ugly set the tone.
No question. And that's why when people talk about, for instance, going to Oklahoma next week and doing this and that, that's exactly right. You say, oh, please. But I don't want to be negative about it, because here's the thing about college football. Hey, they could come out next week. Oklahoma could, and turn a ball over 5 or 6 times. You've seen it. We've seen it. I've seen a lot of games here where we've been on that side of the thing where you'd think, man, there's no way in the world Tennessee can lose this game. And sure enough, you play down to somebody. And on any given Saturday, especially among these teams that are on these BCS leagues, pretty much outside of Vanderbilt right now, and I'm proud to say that, anybody can pretty much play with anybody, Terry, week in and week out. But to your point,
I said go ahead. The day that North Texas State beat Tennessee, I sat there in the
mid-1970s. Was it 1975, was that?
Something like that. I had a hat on that I had worn to every home game. And we had won, and that day I burned it in the stands. I'm an old hat.
Hey Terry, if you lit a fire today, if you lit a fire in the stands and lit your hat on fire now, you'd be on the news. They would charge you with something. You'd probably get like a terrorism charge.
But I did do that. That's a real story. My brother-in-law got mad at me and stomped it out.
But that's a great story.
Is the offensive and defensive line. You've got to get 9 to 13 big uglies every year, and you've got to have depth. And I love the speed. I love the passion that these freshmen, 22 of them, are playing every game, are playing with. But as you saw today, they start to get hurt and everything else, and we have no depth. I'd love to think that we would really, if we kept it with 10 points with Oklahoma, I'd think we'd won the damn game. But, the fact of the matter is Stoops wants to embarrass the SEC because he says that the bottom figures are, absolutely horrible, and we're just, the rest of the nation looks at the top level. So he's got a chance to humiliate somebody, and he'll try and do it to us.
Josh, I'd like your thoughts on that. It does seem like Stoops has this, I don't know any other way to say
obsession.
It. He's got a stiffy with the SEC. Josh, I'd like your thoughts.
Yeah, chip on the shoulder. What about
there you go. Yeah. Thank you, Josh.
Yeah, he's got a chip. You can definitely tell he does. And, you know, the thing I think Tennessee fans need to think about is this defense is much faster. You know, last year at Oregon, Oregon ran off and left them. I was standing there on the sidelines going, holy smokes, they're fast. And I don't think this Oklahoma team's that fast. They're talented. They're really talented. But this Tennessee defense is fairly talented and fast enough to hang with them. So if they get a couple of breaks, I'm with your caller. 10-point game would be like a win for Tennessee to go out there and keep it close going into the fourth quarter. That would make Oklahoma nervous. And it would get some people talking, hey, this Tennessee team's legit. They hang with Oklahoma and Norman. It would be a big thing for Tennessee to go out there and hang with them. And one player today, he was talking about the big uglies. I thought Owen Williams played well. He moved really well for a defensive lineman. Ran down the running back on a play in the corner. He did a good job. He stepped up, played better this game.
Josh, excellent. That's an excellent observation on your part on Owen Williams. And that's the kind of thing that we need. We need guys to emerge and continue to build depth on the defensive line. And Terry, in the offensive line, the story is what the story is. It's kind of like our quarterback play. The story is what the story is. Peyton Manning's not stepping on the campus anytime soon.
Oh,
and,
please.
You know, so our offensive line is our offensive line as well. And just got to hope we can move the ball a little bit.
And you play with what you got right now. I mean, we don't have any depth. It was unfortunate that kid, and I have nothing but respect for him, who tore his ACL last weekend. I mean, he's obviously all Tennessee, and I hope they can somehow, you know, if he wants to come back and do a redshirt, you know, with him. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is he's a redshirt walk-on, I mean, or, you know, whatever you want to call him, and we just don't have the depth yet, and people have to understand that. And, you know, when I start hearing, oh, we're going to play with Oklahoma, give me a break.
Exactly. I love magical thinking as much as the next person, Terry.
Yeah,
but just like Josh said, you go down there, you keep that thing within 10 in the fourth quarter. We're still interested, still eating the dips and the chip. Hey, man, I'd love to see it.
I would too. Hey, man, thanks.
Hey, have a great night. Great talking to you. Josh, give me a look-see into your week next week, as I want to remind you that you're listening to the, and you are part of the revolution tonight, whether you know it or not, when you're listening to us, because this is the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. It's the place where you are the star at 865-200-5402. And encourage your friends and your neighbors to download the app we have, and they can take part in this on their way.
Don't encourage demand.
Huh?
Don't encourage them. Demand that they do that.
But they can go get their Tony Basilio app for iPhone and also for Android. And I do want to thank our friends at Smartway and Dalton Behring for allowing us to bring this to you. Josh, next week, you're heading, lay it on me here, you're doing some really good stuff, and you guys have altered your plans because you want to get a look at some Tennessee commits up close and personal, which is something that you guys are bent on with your website at InsideTennessee.com. Elaborate.
Yeah, we're going out to, we're going to fly to Dallas instead of fly to Oklahoma City because Tennessee has a couple guys in the Dallas area that actually play within 5 miles of each other. And Dallas is 3 hours from Norman, so we can just make the drive up Saturday to Norman to cover the game. But we're going to fly in, get to Dallas around 3 o'clock. I'll go see a game. Danny will go see a game. Then we'll meet up and drive up to Norman the next day. But, yeah, every road game, we try to go see somebody. Somebody, you know, they go to Georgia this year. We'll go through the state of Georgia and watch a couple games. You know, for sites like us, that's something not many other people do, and it gives us some film of the guys, gets an interview, see what these kids look like. Last year, Danny saw, I believe, all but two commitments live out of this entire class, and most of those guys are playing this year, so we kind of had a good feeling of what was coming. It's important for us to know what Tennessee's recruiting. When people ask us our opinion, you know, I can say, hey, I saw this guy live. This is what they got coming. So it's
it's a good, you know, you'd think Oklahoma, there's nothing close to it. Tennessee doesn't recruit Oklahoma. They may have one player for the state of Oklahoma, but Dallas is 3 hours away. So we'll go see some kids and then drive up to Norman, cover the game, and then fly back Sunday morning.
What's going to happen? We're going to get good news here coming up in recruiting in a couple weeks when the two big ones fall.
Well, you got Drew Richmond September 9th, which is a few days away.
A few days away.
Yep, a few days away. He's committing. I believe his friend lost his life. I may be wrong. I get confused on some of these kids. He's just announcing on that day. There's something behind it. I need to look that up in my notes. But he's committing. It's Tennessee and Ole Miss battle. I've had people tell me it's Tennessee. I know a lot of people are really nervous that Ole Miss has done stepped in there and went about it a little bit different by going after his family, saying, you know, Oxford's closer than Knoxville. You need to come down here. You can follow Laramie Tunzel as the tackle here, and look what Ole Miss is doing. And you got the blindside coach down there in Hugh Freeze, so I'm sure they're pumping that up. The Tennessee has been leading for him, but it's probably 50-50 right now whether that kid comes to Tennessee or Ole Miss.
I'll tell you one thing right now. It is an amazing thing. It is an absolutely amazing, amazing thing, recruiting in this era, and just how guys will go to any length. And you've got so many more things now in this world we live in, Sean, at your disposal that you even had 25 and 30 years ago, and we thought it was wide open. Now with the social media and all these things and all these ways to put pressure on these kids, it's a different world now, Sean.
Man, recruiting is whatever it takes to get the kid to sign, you know, and if it's hopefully it's legal, but I mean, the creativity right now, the time they're spending, the money they're spending, with all the, you know, now you're having to hire a graphic artist in your recruiting department so you can make these mock covers.
Yeah. You know, what is that?
You know, it's, well, you know, but I'll tell you what, but the one adage never changes in recruiting. It's been the same for 30 years. It's recruit the decision maker. And if the parents are the decision makers, then, you know, Ole Miss is doing a great job. We'll see. But that I have a hard time believing that thing's going to be over on the 9th, regardless.
You agree with that, Josh?
Said. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll recruit him to the end, either team. If he commits to Ole Miss, Tennessee will stay on him because they need that offensive tackle, as y'all can see right now, really bad. And they'll stay on him. If he commits to Tennessee, I'm sure Ole Miss will stay on him really hard. I've heard the dad really likes Tennessee and the mom really likes Ole Miss. So we shall see if it's a split household and the kid's been a Tennessee kid. And you talk about that graphic artist. We do a recruiting magazine. We do a magazine four times a year, and they put Drew Richmond on the cover of our magazine and sent it to him. It wasn't our, you know, they just took our magazine, changed the cover, put the kid on it, and sent it to him. So that stuff's happening every day. Then they did the GQ with Chateau and Beyonce. So they're doing things right recruiting-wise at Tennessee. And, you know, if the kid commits to Ole Miss, then I'm sure Tennessee will stay on him.
Those guys throw up some tremendous effort, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, tremendous effort.
It's amazing.
Absolutely tremendous effort. It's, you know, hey, the thing about this is I feel so sure it's going to happen here. If it doesn't, it ain't going to be for lack of trying. And we sure aren't going to look back and go, man, I can't believe they didn't sign this in this class or they didn't sign that in that class. Kind of like the whole Derek Dooley effect where you just look at it years later and you just shake your head. And Derek Dooley's happy that Derek Mason's in the SEC because now he's getting a run for his money for the worst Derek in the last several years, if you can believe that. But, hey, Josh, I really do appreciate the great job that you guys do. And say a word about your site here on the way out.
You know, I'm a scout.com affiliate, InsideTennessee.com. Of course, you have Randy on your show. Randy's one of the – he's been covering the Vols for almost 50 years now. He's great at what he does. He writes a lot for a magazine. I got Danny Parker covering recruiting and the team also. We're a fan-friendly site. We have great message boards. It's just a great community. You can come out. We wrote some opinion pieces today about the game, did some post-game video. We'll have photos up here later.
it's just a great community for Vol fans to go to and talk football or really anything Tennessee. We talk, we have Lady Vol coverage, baseball coverage, basketball coverage. It's just your one-stop shop for Tennessee sports.
Thank you, my friend. Great talking to you.
Yes, thank you guys for having me on.
And the number is 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us, as we're going to stay on a little extra time here tonight, as this is your, ladies and gentlemen, Smart Way, Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction, where we're celebrating a win by Tennessee today. Russell Dubb Smith, I want you to say a word about your program here momentarily, and I open it up to you at 865-200-5402, and if you want to jump in, let's reload the phone lines, and we'll go at it here and break it down. I do want to say that portions of today's program are presented by my friends at your Campbell Cunningham Laser Center. And here's the thing about LASIK surgery. I had LASIK surgery 15 years ago. And you talk about something that is completely life-changing. You know, there are very few things in this world that you can have done that are life-changing. Having the ability when you were 2400 with your vision at one time, I was so farsighted, I couldn't see anything. Or is that nearsighted, Sean, where you can't see anything up far away?
That always messes me up.
Yeah, I'm that screws me up. Do you know, Dubsy? One
I'm
farsighted and one I'm nearsighted.
I knew this at one point in my life, but no more.
Anyway, here's the deal. When I got up in the morning, I could not see the alarm clock. Okay, nearsighted is where you can't see far, yeah. So I'm nearsighted. Anyway, and I'm nearsighted enough to back in the day to not be able, when I had young kids at the time, I couldn't see my kids. If I hadn't had my eyeglasses on or contacts, which just tore me all up, and you know that whole thing with the allergies. Here's the deal with LASIK surgery. You can go get LASIK surgery at several different places. I'm going to go to somebody who's been doing it longer than anybody. I'm going to go to somebody who's done this several hundred, if not thousands of times, and I'm going to go to somebody that has the latest and greatest equipment with the opportunity and the know-how and the expertise to take care of me, and that's why Campbell Cunningham Laser Center knocks it out. Now, here's the thing. Many people are listening to me tonight, and you've thought about LASIK surgery. It's been out there for a while. The advances in it are insane. From the time I had it 15 years ago to now, it's insane what a great surgery it is. The bottom line, though, is people are just afraid to go get that consultation. Do it. Take this number down, 588-EYES, again, 588-EYES, and check out the website, CCLCEYES.com. CCLCEYES.com. Go to the Am I a Candidate page and fill it out. And the staff at Campbell Cunningham Laser Center is going to let you know if you're a candidate. So that step of the consultation and all that, we've just kind of knocked that out there. Go online and check it out. You guys, and by the way, thanks to Campbell Cunningham Laser Center, you guys here have been watching this USC-UCLA game. I haven't. Christian, give me your dead level thoughts on what we're seeing here in this ball game.
Very strange game, Tony. This is a bit, USC, tons of discipline problems. I don't know if you saw that. Obviously, you didn't. But Pat Hayden came down from the press box onto the field after an ejection to get in the refs' faces. He's on the College Football Playoff Committee. I saw people on Twitter talking about how that's not a very good look for that committee. You've had tons of discipline problems with USC. Just personal foul after personal foul. Stanford can't score. They've been in the red zone, I believe, 6 or 7 times and have 10 points.
They've outgained them close to 3-1 in the football
game. Just an absolute mess of a game.
And they just got jobbed on a job.
They just had a touchdown taken off the board on a bogus call.
Total jobbed.
So this deal here, this game here is just...
But he brings up a great point. You got Pat Hayden coming down from the sidelines.
From the press box.
From the press box. And this is a guy that's supposed to be level-headed and objective enough to sort out the playoff system?
We're not going for that, are we?
Well, it just, you know, I don't know.
We don't know what to make of that, do we?
I don't.
Dubsy, give me a word about your show here, man.
Yeah, I'm on weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
Sorry, Dubsy, I just cleared my nose. Go ahead.
That's fine.
Do again what you're doing. I'm sorry, that was rude of me. I turned myself down.
3 to 6. weekday afternoons on 94.3.
Now yeah. I just turned you down, Dubsy.
Cutting,
go ahead.
Cutting me off of my own live read.
He's got a great show. Why are you killing him?
94.3 FM. Weekdays, 3 to 6, online at knoxtalkradio.com. And give me a follow on Twitter, at RussellWNFC.
That is some wild stuff, man. So he comes down onto the field.
He said he got a text from Sark. That's what he told some media members. He said Sark wanted to talk to him. So he comes down there.
Wait, did Sark whip out his phone on the side?
That's what Pat Hayden told someone. I saw that.
Troy Fleming back in the day.
Who was that did that? I was trying to remember.
At that Peach Bowl.
Troy Fleming? That's a great memory.
But that was in the locker room, I think, to be fair.
Yeah.
That's the word.
USC's kind of a train wreck, aren't they? What'd you guys call
it? They might win this game.
Kiff and curse?
Hopefully.
Kiff and curse. All right, fellas. Well, it sure was a lot of fun. I thank everybody involved. I thank my friends at Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. Randy, all the work you guys do. Thank you, man, for all the great sponsorship of this show. Sean Sinclair. Thanks, brother.
Thanks for having me, Tony. And, you know, for everyone out there,
this was fun tonight.
I don't know how you get better than 2-0 in two games. And really, neither of the games were, you know, all that stressful for us. Enjoy it. I mean, we're gonna have some nail biters and some tough ones to watch coming up. Enjoy what we got right now.
I couldn't have said that any better myself. Christian Lundy, young man, give me a final thought here.
Well, I thought obviously Tennessee played a little sloppy today, but they got the win.
Mm-hmm.
You heard some callers here ripping Justin Worley. I thought that was a little. Did not expect that coming in to the show, but I thought he played pretty well today.
Here's the thing.
They'll need to step it up next week, obviously.
Well, for whatever reason, a quarterback is the focal point, but Sean's point and the point we've made the whole time is quarterbacks are great, and it is really wonderful that we can focus on that. The truth is, he's the least of their concerns.
Yeah, but and to also be fair, your analogy of your C student giving you C
work.
Yeah,
that's right.
I don't blame this offensive line at all.
No.
I think if you take a look at all those new starters, remember, I don't remember seeing an offside, a false start on us today.
Kyler Kerbison had one.
Okay, well, I don't remember being, you know, a whole bunch of holding penalties or any of these other things. I think they're doing about as well as they can, and I applaud them for their efforts.
And that's all we can say, you know? And look, my whole thing the whole year on the way out has been this. I want to see smart football. I want to see it where I look at it and go, hey, it looks like the kids are trying and the kids are coaching. And I'm seeing that. And they got another commitment today from another 4-star football player who X tells me is excellent. Sean Sinclair, who I trust immensely, tells me is a great player. And Josh Woodward said is a guy who's only going to get better, who's better, best football is certainly in front of him. And so I think today was a great day in Big Orange Country. Is it an all-time memorable day? I don't know if we're going to have one of those this year. I hope we do. But at the end of it all, I thank you for being there. I'll say, and I mean this, those 3 hours, that 3 hours and 10 minutes we just spent in here, Sean, went by pretty quickly.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's very much a privilege to finally get to meet Russell W. I'm a big fan, listen to his show every day. It was nice, and of course, it's always fun to see Christian here, so thanks for having me.
Dubsy, I mean, do you guys want to hear Stevie Ray Vaughan's second to last show? Do you want to hear that Ozzy show from 81 with Randy Rhodes on it? Some old school country.
Can't beat either of those.
Let's just let some Stevie Ray take us home here. This thing is a masterpiece soundboard. I love each and every one of you. Thank you. Spread the word for us. We'll come back next week. The Oklahoma game kicks off at
8 p.m.
Start time here, roughly about 11:30. Which means I'm up till
about 2:30 off the air at 2:30.
Is that true? Is there a way to only do an hour next week?
Maybe it'll be one of those epic 5 overtime games, and we fire this thing up about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Go to 5.
I think you're going to get some calls either
sunrise
way next week.
Fifth quarter edition.
We're going to have fun with it, aren't we? No. Matt, thanks, man. I got to pay you. Stay right there. Matt Nelson, I say the check's in the mail to you. Thank you to everybody involved. We love each and every one of you. Thank you. Little Stevie Ray Vaughan here bringing us home. Little Stevie Ray Vaughan. Come on. Come on, baby. You can do it. Come on.
Ozzy Osbourne Live is brought to you by Nestle $100,000 Bar, with a taste as rich as its name.
got a number for you now. It's a number of our forthcoming album. The album's called Diary of a Madman. And the track we're going to do for you now is a number called Believer. Stand up! Let's go, man!